Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to talk this morning about three different kinds of problems, and to introduce them, I want you to open up to our Torah portion for this week, Parshat Balak, and Numbers chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 6 and 14 in this particular chapter. Balak summons a sorcerer who is named Balaam, or as we say in Florida, Balaam. It's an amazing difference in pronunciation. He summons Balaam because he recognizes that the children of Israel, who are his next-door neighbors, he sees them as a threat, not as a blessing. And he wants Balaam, who is a sorcerer, and a strange figure because he has a connection to both dark powers and some kind of connection with the Holy Spirit, but it's not a clean connection with the Lord. He summons Balaam because he wants Balaam to curse Israel. And in verse 6, he says through his messengers to Balaam, "Please come at once, curse this people for me because they are too mighty for me." Let's say that phrase. Too mighty, too mighty. And then he says, "Perhaps I'll be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land." So they're too mighty, and he wants to defeat them. And I know that he who you bless is blessed, and he who you curse is cursed. And then going down to, I said, verse 16, it's actually verse 11. It says that Balaam speaks to God and says, "A people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them." He's quoting Balak, who is asking for this. So Balak's position and Balaam's position is that Israel is too mighty, they need to be defeated, and they need to be overpowered and driven out. And this helps us understand something about problems that we can face. One of the kinds of problems that we face are those that are simply meant to hurt us or to harm us. It was Balak's intention to hurt Israel, to do harm to Israel, so that he could overpower Israel. But in verse 11, we see that he doesn't just want to have a victory, he wants to drive Israel out. That helps us understand a second kind of problem, the kind of problem that's meant to defeat our life with God and to stop us from accomplishing what God has in mind. Balak was not content simply to have a victory. He wanted to keep Israel from accomplishing what God wanted for Israel. So this helps us understand two kinds of problems, those which are meant to harm us or hurt us, and those which are meant to defeat our life with God. And there's a third kind of problem, and this is a challenging problem. These are the problems that are meant to make you strong or to bring you closer to the Lord. Not every problem is meant to hurt us. Not every problem is meant to defeat our calling and our life in God. Some problems are given so that we will actually get stronger through them and so that we will come closer to the Lord. Now, Balaam meant to curse Israel, but God refused to curse. Balaam tried a number of approaches. It takes several weeks to get all the details in. But even when he was trying to curse Israel, he ended up blessing Israel. He ended up, in fact, saying a blessing that's used in the siddur. If you have a siddur with you in the chair in front of you, you can see the blessing of Bilam that is on page 2. It's called Ma Tovu. So the man who intended to curse Israel says, Ma Tovu, O Halecha Yaakov, Mishkanotecha, Yisrael. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. So it was Balaam's intention to curse, but God put in his mouth words of blessing. But in the end, it was still his goal to curse, not to bless. So he wasn't happy that he blessed Israel, and he kept working on a plan that would do harm to Israel and defeat Israel, and he finally came up with a plan to seduce Israel, working through human desire, using the women of Moab. And those Israelites who were seduced by the women of Moab were also led away from God. The work of Balaam was not just meant to hurt or harm Israel, it was meant to break Israel's relationship with God. And in a certain way, it was effective with certain people. Those who gave in to the seduction were not only seduced through their bodies, but their hearts were pulled into worship of false gods. That's why Peter could write that Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness or wrongdoing or wickedness. He loved earning money, not just doing harm, but bringing a break in the relationship with Israel and the Lord. Now let's compare the problems that were brought through Balak and Balaam to the problems that Joseph had. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. It says they hated him. When he shared dreams that he had from the Lord, they hated him even more. They not just hated him, they not only hated him, they hated God's plans for Joseph. And so they tried to do harm to him, and they tried to break his relationship with God and the calling that God had on his life. So he ends up in slavery. He ends up working for a man without getting paid, without having rights. He's not only not a citizen, he has no rights at all. And his first master's wife tries to seduce him. Many of you know the story. How many of you are familiar with the story? That's a good number. But his response, Joseph's response, was different than those of Israel who were faced with the seduction of the women from Moab, because Joseph did not give in. You see, the plan was not just to harm them, it was to seduce them and to pull them away from God. You see the connection? Many times sin has two different levels of working. It works at one level to do some harm to our soul or even to our bodies, to our relationships. But it works at another level where it can actually do harm to our relationship with God and our commitment to walk with Him. Joseph did not give in. Now, when Joseph took a stand for righteousness, it should have made everything really easy in his life. Isn't that right? When Joseph said, I'm not going to give in to that seduction, because he was standing for God, that should have solved everything, don't you think? You know, the way we often think is, listen, I stood up, I did what was right, and so everything should come into peace. It should be good for me. I took a stand. I didn't do what I shouldn't have done. I didn't give in to the seduction. I took a stand for righteousness. So it should be easy going from this point. Isn't that the way we often think? I did what you said, Lord. Our temptation when we do what is right is to hold it up to God and to say, so why should I have any more problems? And yet, when Joseph did what was right, it created a whole new set of problems for him. You and I really want to believe that if we do what's right, it's going to be smooth sailing, easy going. And actually, when you take a stand for righteousness, it may create more problems, not less. Often the seductions are the easy way through things. But the hard way, doing what's pleasing to the Lord may actually produce a whole new set of problems. So Joseph took a stand for righteousness, and he was immediately blessed with a new home. The problem was, the home was a prison. He was thrown in prison. Not jail, prison. And so now he's not free. Now he, standing for God, has more problems than he just had. And yet for Joseph, this was a time to draw closer to the Lord. This was a time for Joseph to continue to take a stand. Sometimes we want to believe that if we take one stand for God, that should be enough. But when you take a stand for God on important matters, you may have to keep taking a stand and keep taking a stand and keep taking a stand. And the stand may require that you draw close to the Lord in order to keep standing. Joseph continued to serve. He continued to give his best. He wasn't getting paid, but he gave his best. He had no freedom except the internal spiritual freedom that he exercised in the Lord. He continued to fellowship with the Lord. He continued to be faithful. You know, sometimes we're tempted to give up being faithful because we don't like the situation we're in. We think it's not just. We think it's not fair. We complained to God, but I did what was right. And whenever we say that, whenever we're whining to the Lord about those kinds of troubles, we're actually saying that we didn't deserve this. We should already be in an easier situation than we're in. But Joseph stayed close to the Lord. He didn't allow his problems to rule over him. He did not allow his problems to break his relationship with God or his calling in God. In fact, later on, when Joseph is reunited with his brothers, he confronts them and he said, "You did evil. You sold me into slavery." He doesn't just smile and say, "You know, nothing happened." He confronts it. But interestingly, in that confrontation, he does not exercise bitterness. He exercises forgiveness and redemption. He does not allow the suffering that he experienced to grow a bitter root inside of him where he's angry at God, he's angry at people, he's angry at everyone and everything. When Joseph reveals himself to his brothers and speaks to them in Hebrew to their shock, leaving them speechless. He says, "You betrayed me, you sinned against me, you meant it for harm, but God used it for good." And here, Joseph's theology is very sophisticated. He's not saying that what happened was good. He says that God used it for good. What happened was evil. What happened was wrong. What happened was intended to hurt him, but God turned it for good. God turned around this problem that was meant to harm Joseph and a problem that was meant to defeat his life in God, and God used the very problem to be a blessing. Wow. Some of us are in the middle of problems or you're facing problems and you need to know God's going to use that problem to lead you into a blessing. You know, Joseph could not have come up with a plan. He couldn't have said, how could I end up being the prime minister in Egypt? I got it. I'll have some good dreams that my brothers will think are nightmares. They'll hate me. Yeah, this is good. Okay, they'll sell me into slavery. I'll get unjustly imprisoned after that. I'll be forsaken and rejected by everyone for years. Sounds like a good plan. And then one day I'll be prime minister. It sounds like a Chicago politician's idea of how to get ahead. God used the very problem because God is able to take things that are meant for harm and things that are meant to defeat us and to turn them around. It's like spiritual judo. He uses the force and the power. He gets a hold of it and he turns it for good. It doesn't mean that the thing that happened was good. It means that a good result comes out of it anyway. Amen. This is one of the great paradoxes of the kingdom of God. It's a surprising wonder that God is able to use even our worst situations to bring good to us and to others around us. He even used Joseph's suffering to bless those who had brought the suffering upon him. Paul had all this in mind when he wrote in Romans chapter 8, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now let's work our way from the end of that verse to the front. Called according to his purpose. You know what this means? We have to hold on to the calling and the purpose of the calling. And to not give up on the purpose, because sometimes we feel called if everything's going well. If we feel that the situation we're in is serving us and our pleasures, we feel good about it. But the Lord wants his people to be able to hold on even when his purposes take us through difficulty. When they're not pleasing, when they're hard. But God is able to use even those. What's required of us? Hold on to the purpose, to the ultimate goal, not just to the situation you're in, but what's beyond that situation. What if your current difficulty is temporary? Who's in favor of that? Temporary difficulty. All of you who want permanent difficulty, you are sick. You need help we can't give you from here. Temporary difficulty, temporary sufferings. These things that get our attention, that occupy our hearts and our minds through our difficulties, they're temporary. Can you say that with me? They are temporary. What's permanent? The call of God. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They can't be taken away. The love of God cannot be taken from us. We can't be separated from the love of God if we just go with him. And that's why we have to back up in this verse for those who love him. It's not just holding on to purpose, it's holding on to love too. Love him. Not just believe in him doctrinally. Not just think about him, but love him. To open up the heart enough to be affectionate towards him. To be submissive towards him. Humble towards him. That's why the Haftorah portion could summarize what does God require. But that we act with justice. that we love mercy and that we walk humbly with our God, putting in him in a higher place than we are, taking the lower place. Paul says, God causes all things. Say that after me. God causes all things to work together for good. To work together for good. For those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, if you're sitting next to someone you like or love, smile at them and tell them God causes all things to work together for good. God causes all things to work together for good. God causes all things. How many things? Just maybe it's some things. Are you sure? Maybe it's only pleasant things. God causes pleasant things. God causes all things. The pleasant, the unpleasant, the easy, the difficult. A little music to underline the point. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. When you are facing problems, remember what Yeshua has done for you. He's taken upon himself every curse that's meant to harm you or to destroy you. Everything that is meant to defeat you, to harm you, to undermine your life in God, Yeshua has taken upon himself. And what is left are only the problems that God can use for good. The problems that are meant to harm you, Yeshua's taken the full brunt of those. The problems that are meant to destroy your calling and your life in God, Yeshua's taken the brunt of those. What's left are the problems that are meant to make us stronger and to bring us closer to God. Amen. You and I have problems. Can you agree? Amen. You can agree I do, but can you agree you do? You've got problems, I've got problems, we've got problems. He, she, or it has problems. They have problems. Everyone has problems. We'll conjugate all the verbs we need to. We have problems. Joseph had problems. His brother sold him into slavery. You probably, if you have brothers or sisters, have had some problems with them. But chances are really good that they never went so far as trying to sell you into slavery. For that, you can be grateful. You say, you know, my brother is not as bad as I thought he was. My sisters are not as bad as I thought they were. Joseph's brothers actually sold him into slavery. They meant to harm him, but God used it for good. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we are facing external problems out of our control. Problems that are planned to hurt us, that are designed to break our calling and our life in God. But we need to hold on to God and the love of God during these problems, because through that, he will change the impact of those problems. And they won't really harm us in the way that we thought. They won't defeat us in the way that we thought. We will draw closer to the Lord, and in the end, he'll raise us up and fulfill the calling that he has in our lives. Called according to his purpose. Called according to his purpose. I want to pray for us that we can see God's hand working to change problems. If you analyze them and get stuck in the analysis, you can end up saying, people are against me. You can say, people betray me. That's true. That will happen. But you can get stuck there. And you can allow a bitter root to grow. And when that bitter root grows, it's not just bitter towards the people who did harm to you, it's bitter to God for letting it happen. And it loses sight of what God can do with problems and betrayal and difficulty and how he can turn it all around, and it actually causes us to be defeated in our life with God. I want to pray that we don't let our problems defeat us like that, that they can be turned around. Would you rather have Joseph's problems or Balaam's problems? I'll take Joseph's problems. But it takes Joseph's response in his heart. He took a stand. He didn't give in to the seduction. He took a stand. He remained faithful. He drew close to the Lord. He took a stand. He didn't give up. And in the end, God used him in the mightiest of ways, beyond what he could have accomplished for himself. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the problems you give us. We thank you for the way that you use our life, its joys and its sorrows, its challenges, its opportunities, to make us stronger and to bring us closer to you and to fulfill the very calling you have in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We offer our hearts to you that we would not give in to any bitterness. We thank you, Lord, for the replenishing that you are doing in our lives, the refilling. Thank you, Lord, for the refreshment that you are giving us. Thank you for the invigoration that you are providing to us and the joy. Thank you for the summertime. Thank you that in earnest we can enjoy the summer. We ask strategically for the rains to come and to refill our water table. We ask, Lord, for spiritual rain to come, to refill us, refresh us, and renew us. We pray, Lord, that we would find as we end the summer that we have more strength than we had before, that we have more joy, more resources, more hope, more vision, and that you have used the heat of the summer to bring something forth. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I pray, Lord, your blessings on our congregation, on our community, that we would overflow as we trust in you and put our hope in you. We lift up Dorothy Gordon to you as she faces stage 4 cancer. We pray for healing. We pray for a miracle of healing for her, that you would bring real healing to that brain tumor and to the cancer in her lungs, that you would renew her strength. We ask, Lord, that not one day, not even an hour, be cut short from her life, that she would be able to live out the fullness of her days. We pray for her husband, Mike, that you would give him strength and hope, that he would be able to stand together with his wife through this difficult treatment and through this time of testing. We ask for victory for her. We lift up to you all who are sick, all who are frail, all who are in lack, in despair, and we pray you would pour out your filling of the Holy Spirit, that those who are empty would be full, that those who have nothing would have more than enough to share with others. We pray that this would be a time of refreshing growth. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. And the Lord keep watch over you and shield you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you with his chesed so that you may love mercy. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.